Like any good avid reader, I have tried my hand at writing. Going into your imagination and giving form to ideas, then being able to transport another person into that world is nothing short of magical. Creating characters with personalities grounded in their experiences of the world is tricky work, but exciting as you get to play God and explore their psychology. Starting out their journeys is never the issue. I always get stuck on figuring out what their true purpose is, you know, the one that transforms them into their best self. If you can resonate with that, I mean, trying to figure out what your true purpose is, then I've got a book for you to check out. Welcome to Self-Help Junkie, the podcast where we explore the world of personal development through the eyes of book enthusiasts. I'm your host, Erica Ng, a communication coach and your resident bookworm. This season, we'll be focused on finding purpose, motivation, and inspiration. But before we dive into the conversation with our guest, let's get a one-minute summary of the book. Gene Keys by Richard Rudd is a comprehensive guide on personal growth and self-discovery through the exploration of a system of 64 gene keys, which represent archetypal themes and energies that shape our lives. To understand your gene key, you're going to have to find out what your sequences are using your birth time and place. You'll get a little map with numbers and words that you then use to learn about yourself. Different sequences cover different aspects of your life. For example, the activation sequence guides individuals through a journey of self-discovery and transformation. It works through shadows and helps you embrace your gifts and ultimately embodying the city. The Venus sequence, on the other hand, is to help with your love and relationships. And the Pearl is kind of like part two of activation, where you get more purposeful and fulfilled. The numbers on your chart and sequences have corresponding pages of information on a trait that can act against your best interest if you don't keep it in check. For me, one was patience. Rude. Then again, I do also summarize entire books in 60 seconds, so fair. The book has meditations, exercises, and insights that give you time to contemplate how this aspect of yourself affects you and helps you get to a place where you want to be. And with that, let's dive in. Today, we have on Kylie Ann Nell. She assists women in manifesting autonomy in their lives, enabling them to balance motherhood while cultivating abundant wealth in accordance to their human design. With over 5 years of experience in the coaching industry, her superpower lies in transforming intricate information into accessible and enjoyable strategies for implementation. Kylie Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
So I was already talking to Kylie Ann earlier, and I told her that I was a bit of a skeptic. So she has been warned and she seems very excited by this. Before we dive into the book, I wanted to ask you, so you are South African, but now you reside in Ireland. How did you end up on the other end of the world?
I actually have a lot of Irish lineage in my history, but my husband got an opportunity to take a job in Ireland, and it was a no-brainer for us. We had been kind of considering immigration at the time and manifested an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It was really good. So we arrived, and we arrived never having visited the country even before. Because of the pandemic, it made things a lot more complicated because we moved during that time. But we love it here, and that is how we've ended up here. And I don't know where the future will take us, but for now, we're very happy.
Right. Oh, I'm surprised. Like, with going from such a sunny place like South Africa and then Ireland, I'm assuming it's kind of like Vancouver, where I grew up, kind of rainy, a little dreary.
A little bit. Definitely a different climate, but I actually love a cooler environment. South Africa has areas where it's so hot that I would lose my personality.
What does that mean, losing your personality?
So it just felt like I was melting all the time. And when I'm cooler, I can function better as a human being. It's just as simple as that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So let's dive into the concept of human design. So first off, I live in Bali. I've heard of this here and there before. Was this book, Gene Keys, the first time you encountered human design, or had you heard it in the ethos previously?
So this is why I love the fact that you're a skeptic, because the first time it came into my world, I was like, absolutely not. I closed the books and kind of just put it to the side. And it kept popping up for me. Now, if you are into human design, I'm a 3-5 emotional generator. And because of my generator energy, I do have things popping up for me all the time that I then get to respond to. So I was naturally already following my design, which most people are anyway, in finding this information. So the first time I came across human design, I was doing my NLP training. And the person facilitating the course said to me, Kylie, you would actually really love human design. And I took one look at the system and I was like, this is so complicated. And I, again, being the generator, love to master things and I love to understand things. And I was like, what are all these symbols and these numbers and there's lines everywhere? It felt so confusing, but it kept coming up and it kept coming up and it kept coming up. And one of the topics that we also kind of went into in our NLP training was metamedicine, which is so, so interesting. And I was kind of then starting to get more into human design. I was doing my certifications to become a human design reader. And somebody was like, you have to check out the gene keys. And again, I was like, okay, let me look into this. Looked at it. It was very confronting. Didn't want anything to do with it. But then when I started to really unpack it and understand it, I was like, oh, this is the missing link I've been looking for. And I would say that, yes, the gene keys and human design are separate systems, but they still speak the same language. And maybe I should just briefly go into like what they are a combination of. So human design, because I know you said, is it astrology? Is it this? What is it? Human design is a combination of 5 different modalities. So we've got astrology in there, and you've probably seen all the symbols and why you need your birth time. And we'll talk about transits and things like that within human design. Then we've got the Hindu chakra system. So if you look at the chart, you've got all the shapes inside the body graph. Those are representations of the chakra system. But what human design has studied is that we went through an evolution way back when, I think in the 1600s, and we became a 9-centered being as opposed to just the 7 chakras that we're used to knowing from the chakra system in like yoga and stuff. And it's really interesting because the emotional solar plexus chakra splits into 2. So we've got our spleen and our solar plexus chakra center in human design. And then our heart center from the yoga chakra system split into 2 and became an identity and our will center. So that's the evolution that we're looking at there. And obviously the Hindu chakra system is ancient. It's really a beautiful modality to look into. Then we've got the Chinese I Ching system. And this is where gene keys is very blended. So the Chinese I Ching system studies the 64 energies that run through our body. And that's all the numbers you'll see inside the human design charts and what the gene keys is based on. So you will see, if you pull up your free gene keys chart, which you can just do on Google, type in free gene keys profile, and you'll probably be directed to Richard Rudd's website. There's numbers. Those numbers represent one of the Chinese I Chings. And those also tie back to the 64 codons of DNA that we have. And this is the link that I'm specifically really interested in, because the codons relate to different amino acids, and there's so much more. And I would say that I'm not as advanced as I'd like to be yet, because this is really a living transmission of work. And I've been really living in my experiment for a good 2 years now, but I know that there's still so much to explore. So that's the Chinese I Ching system of it. We've done astrology. We've done, sorry, this is part you can edit out. Astrology, chakra, I Ching. Oh, yes. Okay. So then we've got the Judaic Kabbalah, which is a tree of life. Now, if you look at the chart upside down, it looks like the tree of life. There's all these connections, and it's fascinating when you start to understand the channels in human design, because that starts to link everything together. And how I personally view it is that there's one golden thread that threads through all of life, and it brings everything together. And that's how I kind of see it forming. And then lastly, we've got quantum physics. And that's how the whole system permeates you, essentially. So quantum physics and manifestation studies that everything is energy. And if we look at an atom, we've got our protons, our neutrons, and our electrons. And quantum physics also studies subatomic particles called neutrinos. Mm-hmm. These are formed when there's a supernova effect, which is basically a star bursting. And those atoms at the time of your birth infuse you. This is why your birth time is so important. And there are things that measure what these atoms are doing. And that's what gives you your design, your astrology, et cetera. And having a very accurate birth time is quite important because the neutrino system can change minute by minute. And that is how you get your design. These infuse you at the time of birth.
That answers some of the questions that I had that I was bringing up to you in our pre-chat. Like, it's called a gene key. I was really curious as to why it was our birth time that was so important. We didn't have to do like a DNA test to figure out what everything else was. But yeah. Okay. So I feel like listening to you, it was like listening to a whole new subject that I'm personally not, well versed in, right? Like, I studied chemistry. If I started talking chemistry to people would be like, I don't know half of the words. Like, I know the meaning or I know the word, but I don't know how it's being used in this specific context. So for someone who is, let's say, new to this and maybe a little skeptical, because it seems to be where you started off with as well, right? How can someone start delving into this and like start getting convinced into maybe delving into some of the literature that's out there and maybe just being a little bit more open to it?
Yeah. So I would also say that if the gene keys is or human design system is finding you, have curiosity about it, but you don't need to think of it as like a dogmatic system where you need to now all of a sudden live your life by it. So when I first started, I was like, okay, where do I start? I would start with more of the human design system because there is a lot more information out there on it. And with human design, I would start with understanding your energy type. There are five different energy types, and just understanding that. And you're either going to find that you're like, oh my word, I feel so seen. And wow, this is just mind blowing. And that's how I actually felt when I started really understanding what it meant to be a generator. I was like, oh wow, this is really deeply seeing me. And eventually when I went and did like a human design reading, I was like, how does the system know everything about me? And the characteristics and the patterns I have. And that's where I think I really connected with the information because it was proof. And I would say that human design is not necessarily going to teach you something mind-blowingly new about yourself, but it gives you permission and it gives you that sense of, this really is how I'm meant to be. And I've been trying so hard for so long to be somebody else that I'm not. And no wonder I've been coming up against so much resistance. So that's where I believe that the system is so invaluable. It really just gives you permission to be yourself. So start with your energy type. That's what I would say. Just start there.
So I did the free profile and I started reading up on some of the, I can't remember what it was called, the genius. Like what my genius was, like the sequence. And for some of it, I was like, this is totally spot on. Like, it was, I think one of the things was timing. It's like, you need to have patience, and I have terrible patience. I've been working on it. So, but then there were other parts where I didn't really connect with it as much. But I think one of the beneficial things, as I was reading through the gene keys, I was kind of flipping through different ones, ones that I was personally on my profile, but other ones that weren't. What I do think that it serves a purpose for in my life in the future, it could be a place where I go to meditate on things. Because I think each one of these gene keys talks about a very essential part of life, whether it be something that you're dealing with right now or something that you've dealt with in the past. You're nodding along. Is there something that jumped out to you as you were reading the book?
No, that just really resonates with me, is that you're not meant to read it and know all the answers in the first thing. It's to meditate. And Richard Rudd actually says to contemplate the information. And if it doesn't resonate at first, what I would encourage you to do is go back in a couple of months' time when you feel drawn to it and see what lands differently. And it might be the parts that didn't resonate at the beginning.
Yeah. And I think it would be even just useful, like, because I think there's 64, you said earlier. And I imagine even if it's not part of my profile, at some point in life, like one of those things is going to be important to myself. And I think especially in a world where we don't, where people are kind of shying away from religion, we don't necessarily spend time thinking about patience or fear. Maybe we think about it in like a therapeutic sense when something is coming up. But if you're in a calm space and you can actually look at each one of those things individually, I think can be very beneficial, whether it be by yourself or like a group of friends.
Totally.
So you were saying that when you initially came across this, you felt some sticky points, some things that you kind of were like, oh, that's a bit confronting. Like, did not need to hear that from you. Were there certain things that you remember working through? And can you talk a little bit about how you worked through it over time?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to start with the first sphere on my gene key sequence, which is gate 37. Or gene key 37. And when I first looked at the profile, the shadow frequency was weakness. And that was like, no, I'm not weak. I need to be the strongest, most independent, fierce woman. I can do anything I put my mind to. What is the system telling me that I'm weak about? And I think that's where the stickiness comes from. So just in terms of explaining for a lot of people that are probably coming across this information for the first time, with the gene keys, each gene key has three frequency bands. So you've got your shadow, your gift, and your city. And your shadow is when you're living in a lower expression. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that you should try and not live in the shadow. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It's just how we can be. And from our shadow, we, when we embrace it, we get our greatest gift. So how I always like to explain this in the simplest of terms, in order to know light, you have to know darkness. In order to know love, you have to know hate, or a life when love doesn't exist. And that's how the gene keys works. So when you confront the parts of yourself that are the darkness, you allow them to come into the light. And that's been the biggest transformation for myself, for my husband, for my clients, is to integrate and to see all the different parts of yourself and go, oh, I can be that way, but it's given me this. So my shadow in my first sphere is weakness. And weakness doesn't mean that I'm not capable or not brave or anything. It simply means that I sometimes place myself above others or below others. And I think that everyone can actually probably resonate with that at a point, because in the coaching industry, for example, I'd be like, but I know that I know way more than this person. Why are they doing so much better than me? And that would be a question I would constantly be asking myself. Or, oh, no, I can't charge prices like that because that person's already, so I need to discount mine by 50% because they have like a mega brand, etc. And I really started to realize how much comparing I was doing, because that's what weakness in this sense means. And comparison really is the thief of so much in your life. The greatest gift it's given me is tenderness, and it's to helped me deeply see that we are all souls having a human experience, and it's not my place to go, oh, there's a hierarchy of souls here. Yes, mm. you know more about chemistry than I do. That doesn't mean that you are a higher value than me. I know more about the gene keys than you right now. That doesn't make me a more valuable soul than you. We all have equal value. We just have different strengths and skills that we get to play with. And yes, the CEO of a company will know way more about, if it's in law, like law, than maybe a junior associate would. Again, it doesn't mean that that person is of a different value. And I deeply understand this now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I pride myself on in my business is that I form really incredible communities. And I wouldn't have been able to do this if I didn't understand this core fundamental information about myself. So again, understanding that stickiness and sitting with it and going, oh, I can be that way. And the word that always used to come up to me when I did shadow work was condescending. Mm. And condescending for me is you placing yourself above or below somebody. Somebody's being condescending to me, or I'm being condescending to that person. And now I'm just like, oh, hi, condescending. I know that you're there. I know you're part of me. It doesn't make me a bad person. I'm just having an experience right now where I'm living in my lower frequency. How can I shift this? How can I see the value of that soul and move into my higher expression?
So it really sounds like the gene key helped you become more aware of yourself, like you're confronting who you are at different times. And then that awareness allows you to transform it into what you actually want to be doing in that moment.
Exactly.
And so the season is on purpose and inspiration. How have you either seen in your own life or in your client's life or the people around you, how have you seen Gene Key bring inspiration and motivation to them?
Oh, okay, so the word purpose, when I first read that you're looking for somebody to speak on purpose, I'm like, you have to know about the Gene Keys. You have to know about this information, because it literally gives you an exact roadmap to discovering your purpose. And it tells you about your purpose. But I think so many people get confused and lost in the paradigm of, oh, my vocation is my purpose. Mm. But that's not your purpose. You can be a lawyer and your purpose can be to be a light worker, and you can shine your light in your family dynamic, at work, in your friendship communities. Your vocation is not your purpose. And I think that that's where so many people get confused.
Right.
So for me, looking at the genius sequence, so just again, to go back to basics of the gene keys is comprised of three different sequences. So we've got our genius sequence, which literally helps us tap into our purpose. Then we've got the Venus sequence, which is our love sequence. And then we've got the Pearl sequence, which is our prosperity sequence. And essentially how Richard Rudd explains it is so beautiful. You have to find deep fulfillment in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's the purpose part. Because if you don't feel fulfilled, you will find a life where you're met with dis-ease and challenges. And I want to be quite clear on what a challenge is. We are meant to experience challenges in our life, but if we get stuck in a challenge, that's when suffering occurs. And we're not here to suffer. We're here to overcome challenges, to grow and evolve through challenges. So once we understand how to do that, we really deeply feel fulfilled. Once we feel fulfilled, we have to allow our heart spaces to open, because from heart, we get to work with love. And love is one of the highest energies we can work with. And I'm sure being in Bali, you've experienced amazing things, because it's such a beautiful place in the world to experience those heart-to-heart connections. Mm-hmm. And once we've opened up our hearts, then we can give and receive freely. And that's when we step into abundance and receive all the blessings. And for a lot of people in manifestation, that might look like money or resources. So a lot of the women I work with are very heart-centered entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and they want to make a huge impact in the world. And I always say that they're part of the 1% that are crazy enough to believe that they can change the world, and they already are. And it's because they work from this heart space of being open to giving and receiving, and they feel deeply fulfilled. And that's what drives their purpose into having the resources that they need to spread their message and work with more people. And the Gene Keys genius sequence tells you about your purpose. So we've got our life's work as the first sphere, and that really tells you about the main character that you're going to be in this lifetime. And understanding that is like, okay, this is why I'm naturally drawn to wanting to do these things. For the longest time, when I was in corporate and I was in architecture before I went into this, I always wanted to form like these societies of like, let's help each other improve in this way. And I never knew where that drive came from. But the Gene Keys has literally been like, that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. That's the drive that you've always had.
Right.
Then we've got our evolution sphere. And that's how we're here to grow and evolve. And it's also where we'll often come across our first shadow in the process. And that can be like our stumbling block over and over and again. So we really want to understand how we're here to grow and evolve, because once we grow and evolve, we can also live in our life's work better. And then we move into our radiance sphere. And our radiance sphere is all about how we radiate our energy into the world. And it looks a lot at our health as well. So this is what I love about purpose through the Gene Keys. It's not just going, oh, what's your one purpose? What's your one place? It's how can you be the healthiest version to emit that energy, to give more to the world? How can you be the main character in your life? How can you grow and evolve? So it starts to paint a really beautiful story. And then from the radiant sphere, we move into purpose. There is a sphere called purpose, but purpose is then talking more about what you're meant to be doing with your life, but not in a vocation sense. It's deeper than that. So it's a really beautiful sequence to start to unlock what your purpose is.
Mm. As you were talking about that, it does feel like there's an element of fatalism. It's like, this is written in the stars. This is how you will be. Can that feel narrowing for some people? Like maybe they're like, this doesn't really feel like the journey that I want to be on or that I feel like I am on. Yeah.
So I love that you said it was written in the stars, because remember how I said supernova effect, a supernova effect, star bursting.
Right.
It's basically you're born out of stardust, right? So it is written in the stars. There are people that hate being labeled. And one of my clients was one of those people. And I'll talk a bit on her story. And she was like, I don't want to be a projector. I want to be a manifesting generator. Right. I don't resonate with any of this. And it was because she grew up with a lot of conditioning. She had grown up in a very abusive home, things like that. And it was very much a culture of, you will be the best. You will go to like med school. You will do things like this to be the best, to be well educated, to be respected. And she had a lot of deconditioning that she had to go through. And the more she deconditions, the more she realizes that human design has given her, and the Gene Keys has given her, freedom to explore her many gifts as opposed to being labeled. So I think a lot of people will at first come into the system, especially depending on like where you source your information from, because you can look at it very isolated, like, oh, I'm a generator, which means this. And oh, I've got this profile, which means this. And oh, I've got this. But when you look at it together, you're like, oh, okay, this is just how life moves through me and works through me. And one of the things you actually mentioned earlier was about religion and that people are straying away from religion. And it's very interesting. And we could have like another 3 podcast episodes just on that topic alone. But I do believe that people are finding God in different ways right now. God, source, universe, I call higher power, the universe. And for the listeners that are listening, choose a term that resonates with you. But I believe that people are finding God in different ways at the moment. And I do believe that we are going back to a more connected place of having meditation practices or prayer or something, because we are seeking different answers that maybe can't be found in a church, but can be found from praying to a higher power. So I think that religion is changing, but the basis of it will always be there. That's how I just perceive it. And that might be an unpopular opinion, but that's just what I've been perceiving. And with that knowledge, I know that the universe is always guiding me to something greater. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I've been placed in a box and it's like, this is my only pathway. It's like, you are meant for greatness and you could achieve greatness in 3,000 different ways. So let me show you all the options. And that's where I love human design as well, because it's really taught me how to tap into the quantum field to bring about all those ideas, because a lot of people make decisions from their minds. Mm-hmm. And your mind is not a place to make decisions from. Our mind is a place where mystery and doubt and confusion and fear sit. So why would I want to make a decision from that place? Our minds are there to actually be used for imagination. So in the process of manifesting something or coming up with a new business idea, I'll say to the universe, show me how I can be of service today. Show me all the different possibilities that I can achieve this. Because let's just say somebody wants to be a millionaire. There are millions of ways that somebody could be a millionaire. You could be the best top-selling author of a book and become a millionaire that way. You could be a coaching person. You could be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is that you want to do. There are millions of different ways. And I think that human design is just like, you want to be a millionaire. Now let's help you navigate how you will get there. Mm-hmm. And it's not about boxing a person in. And I think when I've shown that to the client who did feel very boxed and labeled and all of those things, and she's like, I'm not here to be labeled. And she is Chinese. And she was like, you don't give your birth date to anyone in our culture. That's not how we do it. Like, that's sacred information. And it's been so interesting to see how she's gone from being this person of like, no, 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 to studying human design and astrology now to give more to her clients. It's been fascinating to see.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to hear that you have encountered that, like that resistance and how it has integrated into her life. I'm curious too. So it feels like I was reading like the opening chapters of Gene Keys, and he says like, everyone is a genius. You just kind of have to figure out your genius and like how you can bring that about into the world. It's very positive. I wonder, are there any caveats or any dangers when it comes to like people getting like, they read this and they're like, yeah, I can do it. And then are there any dangers? Is it ever like, slow down? Maybe like before you become a millionaire and like start a business, maybe like read a book about it first, or like, is there any like slow down cautions along the way?
So I would say, and this has happened to me, I've had another client before and she was like, no, just tell me. Because she is one of those very fast, I'm not a fast reader, but she's one of those people that can read an entire book in like a day. She wanted to read the whole book in like a day. I was like, you can't do that. Mm. You hit on a point in the very beginning of our conversation. It feels like work that you need to meditate on. Mm. And that's exactly what it is. So my husband and I actually spent an entire year where we would go to a park every Saturday morning and we would read out parts of each other's gene keys and focus on one sphere at a time, just one sphere. Then we would focus on the line energy, because the line energy is also going to give you a different nuance to the gene key and in whichever sphere. So it gets very nuanced, it gets very layered, and there's like 3 billion different combinations of the human design system. I don't know how many combinations of gene keys, but I know that it's extensive. Mm. It's very extensive. And so we spent a year doing this, a year, and we're about to start it again because both up-leveled and have made new iterations of ourselves. We're about to welcome our second son into the world. And that is like a very pivotal moment for us. And we know that we get to grow and evolve even more now. And so we're going back to it. And I would say that if somebody wants to use this to get to the end point right now, you're actually going to end up in the shadow.
Mm.
And that's something that's also been really interesting, is that I always explain this to people in corporates in this way. There's going to be directors in a company that will just command respect by being in a room. They don't dictate that. They don't ask for it. It's just they've got this aura and this presence, and you're like, wow, I want to know more from that person. I want to be around them. They've got that factor. What is that? That's actually the city that emanates out of who you are, because when you're doing this internal work, it affects the cells in your being, because we're talking about DNA as well. So it affects the DNA, the cells in your being, that starts to radiate out of you. That becomes your auric body. And that's what's attracting everything to you and how you're interacting with the world and how people are interacting with you back. It's that connection of the auras. So when we try to be the person that like walks in and has a confidence, you know those people, and they come across as being dicks.
Narcissistic.
I don't know if you can swear to this podcast. But
yeah.
They come across as being arrogant assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see the gene keys working. If you're trying to reach the highest potential of you by bypassing the shadow and the gift, you're going to end up in the shadow. And that's the irony of it. So when you take your time to meditate and to have that radical responsibility to own all parts of you, to see the shadow in you, to meditate on it, to contemplate it, that's when the work naturally starts happening without you needing to do that much, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I think a lot of people are learning that to speed up, you need to slow down. And it's in the slow down of, I'm going to contemplate this, and I'm going to contemplate this fully. And then it's like, ooh, all of a sudden, something's changed. Something's different.
Clicked. Yeah. I wanted to ask more about your practice with your husband. So you said that you guys go to a park together. So cute. And you go, like, you read each other's spheres. What does that look like? Are you guys, would you, one of you read it and then you guys just sit and meditate on it? Or is it an active discussion? Can you tell me more on that?
Yeah, so it is an active discussion. So if I was doing my husband's gene keys, I would read out his gene key to him. And then we'd have a discussion on where the shadow does come up. And we stop after every frequency band. So we'll look at the shadow, and some weeks we'll just focus on the shadow and then the gift and then the city, which is why it took us a year to do each other's. And we're like, okay, well, where can the shadows come up? And where would, so one of his shadows is force, for example. And I know that it's a shadow that he gets to work on quite often, because forceful energy is like, I'm going to make this happen, which is what we've been taught as a society to do as well. It's hustle, it's make it happen. And again, if you're trying to make it happen, it's forceful energy, and that's when things aren't happening. And I think that the biggest lesson that the gene keys has also taught me is that my husband and I do not fight. We have hard conversations with each other, but we've never had a big fight. And it's because of this, we know each other so deeply, but I never, and he never, we never use the shadows against each other. We can see when the other person is in the shadow, and then we remind the person of their gift. And that's been the most beautiful, expansive way to grow our relationship. It really has been. And yeah, like we'd go through a gene key part and just discuss it and go, okay, so where can you be in the shadow, or where can you be in the gift? How can you leverage this gift? How can you do this? And I mean, the results that my husband's had in his life have been incredible from the gene keys too. And he was also a complete skeptic. He is a chartered accountant, loves his numbers, thinks corporate's the only way. And this was completely revolutionary to him.
Right. Oh, well, that's adorable. I love that. I think that it seems like a very healthy thing for couples to do, just to like, sometimes starting the conversation of like, you were kind of a dick the other day is hard, but having something like this where it's like we are actively every week setting aside time to have these conversations just to be curious and like see what we're going through that week. Yeah,
exactly. And just to get to know yourself better, because sometimes I think we can all accept our shadows a lot easier than our gifts and our talents. Mm. And when we've also got somebody going, but remember, this is how you see this. Remember, this is how you do this. And I think you're brilliant at it. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. I actually didn't realize that other people saw that in me too.
Right.
It's not just a piece of information in a book anymore. It's tangible examples of how you're actively living that.
Right. That sounds like a very supportive, like, ally to, like, pull you back in your moment of weakness. Well, we're coming to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for being on. And thank you for answering my questions with such, I don't know how to say it, like, such openness and very informational. It's very helpful for me. If people are interested in learning more about you and your work, where can they find you?
They can find me at Mind Your Hero on any social media platform. And I know you'll pop the links in below, so I won't spell it. But if anybody wants to start their human design journey, I will be able to help you with that. And I am very passionate, as you've probably heard in this podcast, about this topic and about illuminating people to their superpowers. So the name alone, Mind Your Hero, should give some clues away. I'm obsessed with becoming your own hero and helping women, not only women, but I mostly 99.9% of the time work with women, help them see their superpowers and overcome their inner villain. And that's what I love to do.
And what a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate this.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. This podcast was brought to you by me, Erica Ng, and my sound guy, Stevie, who is the reason there was a huge upgrade in the quality between episode 4 and 5 of season 1. If you enjoyed, please send this episode to a friend who could use the advice or someone who would find this a great listen. If you have thoughts or tips you'd like to share, please do at Self Help Junkie Pod on Instagram, Twitter, or Gmail. I'll see you guys next time.